We usually scrutinize the Torah up close, word by word, verse by verse, parasha by parasha. But how about something different, looking at the Torah itself, the Torah as a whole? What is the Torah? It is a story of origins for a family that becomes a nation. It is the story of a quest by God to find the people who will be God's partners in the world. It is a story of hide and seek, as human beings come close to the truth and lose it and find it again and again. The Torah is obviously a collection of stories, many of them very familiar to us. It is a collection of rules and laws, 613 of them by the traditional account. But in the middle of all of these stories and rules are lists of ancestors, census rolls, architectural blueprints, recipes for sacred meals, ancient songs and sayings and blessings, even a list of standard prices for items to be dedicated to the sanctuary. The Torah is epic. Maybe we forget, because day in and day out we recall the creation of the world, the Exodus from Egypt, in our prayers, but the sweep of the Torah is breathtaking. It is a book of creation, war, famine, travel, warning, argument, and miracle, sweeping across the Middle East from Mesopotamia to Egypt, from the lowest points on earth to the tallest mountains. Genesis, the book of origins, of everything, and of our people. God seeks a partner in this world. Who will it be? The first couple who rebel? The whole human species who descend into violence? The people multiply and spread out, but God selects one man, one family, for a special mission, to be a blessing for all people, to be the seed out of which goodness will spread to all nations, Abraham and Sarah. Yet in each generation, only one person seems ready to take up the special mission, the special covenant. And then the special people end up in exile, strangers in Egypt. Exodus, the book of redemption and revelation. The Israelites multiply as never before, but Pharaoh turns them into slaves for hundreds of years. A redeemer is born, Moshe. He grows up in the world of Pharaoh's fantasies, sees what is wrong but cannot change it. He is a man who can barely speak. He runs away, in exile from the exile, until God calls him. Moshe refuses. Eventually, God's call is too strong to resist. So Moshe performs God's signs. Pharaoh refuses, relents, and refuses through 10 plagues, and at last the Israelites are freed. Pharaoh chases until the people's backs are to the wall of the sea, but God opens the sea in a miracle, and the Israelites pass through in the nick of time. They come to Mount Sinai so that the whole people can become part of God's covenant. God speaks to each person directly, the 10 commandments, but the people lose heart quickly. Moshe goes up the mountain to hear God, and the people build a golden calf. And the whole thing is almost over until Moshe intercedes. Leviticus, the book of the priests, the silent choreography of worship and gratitude, in fire and smell and taste, but in few words. Numbers, the book of the desert, the chosen people on the move, cantankerous, not ready to enter the land. Deuteronomy, the last lecture. Lectures, really. Moshe takes center stage, 120 years old, to tell the story of the desert from his point of view, to review all the history and the laws again and the teachings. Then he goes up the mountain to peer into the promised land, and he dies as the people are on the verge of fulfilling the covenant, or at least setting up the society that will try to do so. What an epic, this Torah. There are great acts, creation itself, the flood, the splitting sea, God speaking from the heavens, and there is comic relief, a sky full to darkness with quails, a talking donkey. There are great voices, Adonai Elohim, the God of Israel and the universe, who overpowers the greatest king on earth, but who can only woo the human heart. Moshe, God's representative and partner, the man with slow speech who teaches the laws, the the man with the glowing face covered in a veil or mask, and a narrator who is neither God nor Moshe, who sees and tells us all. There are 79,847 words in a Torah scroll, and 5,845 verses, told in a serial with 54 episodes by tradition. The letters and paragraphs are set by tradition. Torat Emet, the true Torah, unchanging and unaltered, copied by hands. The words, they come down from the lines that inscribe the lines and the verses in the Torah scroll, as if the words are coming down from heaven. To say nothing of the Torah that's in the books of study, Chayei Olam, the organism that spreads to fill out time and space. In the books, a paragraph of Torah, its unchanging words, are surrounded literally by a world of debate. From Oculus in the land of Israel to Rashi in France, Ramban in Spain, Sephorno in Italy, to Nachum Sarna in America in our Chumash. Their words of commentary almost overtaking the Torah itself on the page. A symphony, a pachelbel canon of theme and embellishment, more ornate and filigreed with each round and each generation. And it all tells us that this epic is not just the story of the universe or the long history of a nation, but a book about ourselves, here and now. The Torah is strange and exotic, set long, long ago, yet it is near and resonant and ultimately familiar. Its heroes and its sweep are vast, but only to sweep us up, to remind us that we too are vast. And the Torah ends as we start our new year, to remind us that we are truly the next chapter. So I sing to the Torah. The Torah is our song, the song of us, the song of God, Shir El in Hebrew, or as Rev Cook rearranges the letters, Yisrael. Yisrael ve'oraita chad hu. We and the Torah, one identity, one song.